to episode 5 of Popcorn Ranch. With us we have me, Afia, Chris, and Claire.
Hello. Whoop whoop.
Whoop whoop. That was my car alarm.
Today we'll be talking about conventions.
Yay!
But before that,
because that's all that's on everybody's mind right now, because we're all scrambling.
We're all making way for cosplay. It's the calm before the storm for the most of the year, and we've hit the storm, which is just scrambling to finish cosplays. Do you agree? Do you disagree?
Yes.
Okay.
Especially for us, because besides Wasteland Weekend, this is the only thing we have this year, so.
Yeah, it's pretty much it. Because we didn't go to Comic-Con this year. Because they be fucking expensive.
Well, and you have to, like, sell your, or give them your firstborn child to get tickets, so.
Oh, yeah, you have to, if you haven't tried to buy Comic-Con tickets ever.
Recently.
This is new. Sorry, this is new.
We got tickets 4 years ago, and it was, like, easy peasy.
Lemon squeezy. But now, you have to get in an
virtual
online
line.
Yeah, thank you. An online line. That would have sounded terrible.
A virtual waiting room.
A virtual waiting room. So you have your virtual ticket, your number, and if you were like over 2,000, then you were not getting a ticket.
And you have priority if you got tickets before, right?
If you can buy tickets at the convention, but they're not going to do that anymore.
Good, because that's bullshit.
I agree.
That's so stupid. They're basically limiting themselves to the same exact audience year after year.
Yep.
When we first went, tickets were $75 for 4 nights plus the preview night for one person, and now it's almost $200.
It's $175, so it's a $100 increase. 125% increase.
Okay, so I heard about the preview night when I was there. I didn't have tickets, but I was there. And basically, there's no point in going to the rest of the convention unless there are panels you want to go to, because preview night, they sell out of all of the limited edition special stuff you can get. So if there's anything you want to buy, you have to get it that night.
But this is the thing that and I love Comic-Con, but Comic-Con's like the industry convention. That's where everybody brings like their movies and stuff. So usually when people are going, like, you know, we go and we spend 90% of our time shopping because we don't buy anything else. We just go to conventions and buy shit, even though we spent a shit ton of money making costumes for the convention. But, if I go to Comic-Con, it's just to see panels, usually, and then to shop. So, I mean, I don't know.
The one thing that I didn't expect about Comic-Con is that it doesn't really have an artist alley. Not like anime conventions.
No, not at all.
I mean, it's a really good place to bring, like, stuff that isn't fan art. There was this guy selling bags that he had made that maybe nerds would enjoy. And that's a really good way to get out there and sell your product. But not so much for fan art and things like that.
But you know what's interesting about that is that the selling of fan art in almost every other art-based community other than like anime, manga, and that stuff is frowned upon. I learned this from a friend of mine who is a indie artist who, her name is Jordan F. Beauchon. I'm probably saying her last name wrong because she's Canadian. But, she does comics and stuff and she's an independent artist, and I was like, why don't you bring some fan art prints to sell? Cause she was going to some, you know, like a art thing. And she's like, oh no, I can't do that. And all her friends are like, yeah, Diva, that's wrong. And I'm like, have you ever been to an anime convention? 90% of what people sell is fan art. People are lucky if they sell their original work unless they're popular online.
Unless you have a really big fan following, there is no way people are going to want to buy original artwork. You're at an anime convention, you're interested in anime and other fandoms that, obviously you're into.
But it was just, like, such a weird thing to me, because I was like, you guys clearly live in a whole different world than I do, because I'm always buying fan art.
The thing is about Artist Alley and fan art, this product does not belong to you. Obviously, you have creative license and everything, but that character does not belong to you, so technically you're stealing from them. You're taking money. However, for companies big enough, like My Little Pony, they're not going to give a shit because they're already earning so much money. However, independent things like Homestuck, for example,
Use Homestuck as an example because they raised like $7 million.
Wait. Yeah, well, he's spending all of that to make the video game.
Yeah, but it's not like he can't earn that money from his fan base.
What I'm saying is he independently sells stuff on his website. It's not like he has it in Walmart, you know what I mean? So he asks that you do not sell Homestuck things that you make so that he can make money because he doesn't have shareholders or anything. He doesn't have sponsors or companies that would like to sell his items. So that's how he makes his money. And, you know,
Does Topico not publish Homestuck anymore? Weren't they publishing the manga? Or, like, you know, manga version of it?
Oh, no, you're right. Topico. But, I mean, like, you can't go in person and buy this shit.
That's true.
So things like that. Like, other online web comics. Online web comics, that's redundant.
ATM machine!
any other, like, Gunner Craig Court. Tom quit his job so that he could primarily focus on his comic and sell stuff by himself on a hosting website. And so, obviously, I would not try and make money off of his creations because that's the only way he can get money. But yeah, besides that, no one's gonna give a shit if My Little Pony is not gonna give a shit if you make money off of fan art.
They'll get pissed at you if you try and make a video game, though.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a fighting video game.
This is true.
Are you trying to make a video game of it?
Yeah, it was... I can't remember what it was called. People were going to make it for free, though.
Wasn't it called, like, Main 6 or something?
Like, Main 6. It had to be that. But yeah, it was... They weren't being paid to do it. They weren't going to charge anybody to play it. But they
It was more or less going to be, like, just an online, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And you it's a fighting game using My Little Pony characters. And it looks pretty good as far as I know.
What about, like, you have Robot Unicorn Attack Rainbow Dash?
I don't know.
Was that through... I don't know if that was through them
I thought that was through something, but I'm not sure. Like,
I mean, if you put a Rainbow Unicorn Pegasus thing and make Robot Unicorn, and don't actually say it's My Little Pony.
No, they do. They say it's, like, Rainbow Dash.
Oh, never mind. They're ruining my plan.
Yeah, they say it's Rainbow Dash. It's clearly Rainbow Dash. But it's the same exact game as Robot Unicorn Attack, only you're Rainbow Dash.
There's no violence. I think that's the main thing.
That's what I was thinking, too, is maybe the fact that, you know, if little kids, once again, already they have to avoid all the freaking clop shit and porn, if they stumble on it and it's violent and...
That just makes me so angry, like...
Well, I mean, can't you...
I'm so angry about that kind of stuff.
I'm wondering, because obviously I don't set up, parental security on my internet. Wouldn't you... If you put the security high enough, wouldn't it cover those pictures?
It should.
Not necessarily.
If you label it as not safe for work, I mean, obviously, it's not called not safe for work. I can't remember what it's called.
Explicit content.
Thank you. Explicit content.
And it really depends on whether the artist labeled it appropriately.
Yeah, it comes down to the responsibility of the artist, because if they're like, this is fine.
See, that's...
Look at it work.
That's what makes me angry. If you label it as explicit, and it is explicit, then good. I don't care. But if you do not, and then kids do stumble upon it, well, then that's shitty.
Then that's on you, because it's your fault that, you know, this poor child is blinded by pony penetration.
What's going on?
Why is Rainbow Dash doing that, Mommy? You know, I was thinking, it occurred to me that, like, they're talking about, you know, like, copyright infringement. There are entire conventions dedicated to copyright infringement. I mean, that's what cosplay is.
Mm-hmm.
Cosplay is basically copyright infringement.
Oh,
you're taking a character that you don't own, dressing up as it, and representing that material.
Like a Disney character dressing up at Disneyland, pretty much. But yeah. Only you're not employed to do so.
We're on Fremont Street just this last Saturday, and the it's insane. People basically, for anybody who hasn't been here recently, because this is something that's been happening recently, is just any Joe Schmo is dressing up like a character, whether it's like a full-on rented suit or a bad copy or actual, like, I would say actual cosplay, like they actually work on them and make them. And then they stand on the strip or Fremont Street Experience, and they basically take pictures for tips. So,
oh, they used to New York, too.
Yeah, and then oh, what's that place called in California, in, like, Hollywood area?
Oh, it's Sunset Road. Sunset something.
Sunset Boulevard.
Thank you.
Sunset Road.
Sunset Road? That sounds like something from Mario Party.
No, we live off of Sunset Road.
Yeah, we live off of Sunset Road, so.
Sunset Road is like, near us. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's something that they've been doing, and now it's coming over here, and so we saw, like, Kiss and Spider-Man and Bumblebee.
A really terrifying bad Mario.
So, making money. I mean, it's all tip-based, but that's why they go out there.
I mean,
well, like, people, there are girls, there are cosplayers, I've seen it online, they're cosplayers who are hostesses to parties called princess parties, and they wear their Disney princess costumes to the party, you know, like a clown or a magician.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I had actually, when I was 5, someone do that for me at my birthday.
It's totally not sanctioned, but I mean, it's like, well, what else are you going to do with the $500 dress that he made, you know? Like,
yeah.
Makes sense to me, but, you know, it's not quote-unquote legal.
You probably, I mean, if...
companies don't really give a shit if you make $20 from hosting a little girl's birthday party, you know?
And it just comes back to selling fan art at Artist Alley. They just, as long as it's under the radar and you're not making a shit ton of money, they're not gonna give a shit.
Well, I think that's why it's harder with Comic-Con. Because all those industries are usually there.
Yeah.
Because it's
yeah.
so big and it's such an industry-based convention. All those companies are already there. They already have their own booth in the exhibit hall. So it would be so easy for them to just walk down, find your shit, and then call you out on it.
Can't sell this anymore.
Yeah.
The only thing I think people can get away with in that case are commissions, because, you know, like, hey, can you draw me Spider-Man? Okay, because, like, when I went to WonderCon one time, you know, they had professional artists there. Like, I met Adam Hughes, and he was drawing Wonder Woman for somebody. Like, someone had commissioned him. And... that's what, like, everybody was doing. They were, and WonderCon is, like, a miniature version of Comic-Con.
Well, it is, it's a sister company, and that's their goal, is to try and get people focused on WonderCon. They want to lessen the amount of people that are at Comic-Con, because it's gotten so bad, so they're really trying to get them to, like, go to WonderCon now, come on.
If they had to move WonderCon to Southern California, more people would go. I'm really pissed about that still. Yeah, in San Francisco, the one time I went, you know, I had been in the Moscone Center for like 25 years. Then they're like, we're moving to Southern California.
You ruined it. It's because you went.
It's because you went.
They were like, oh, we need to move.
Claire's
here. Oh, crap. Claire found us out. Whatever. It's even in a bad area. Like, people were telling me it was, like, in a really shitty venue. It's in the Anaheim Convention Center, which is across the street from Disneyland.
It's not a shitty venue.
It's not. We walked in front of there last year. We were at Disneyland and didn't even realize WonderCon was going on. And we got there early, and we were like, okay, let's just walk to the convention center and hang out and look at the cosplayers while they go in.
Anime Expo used to be at the Anaheim Convention Center, and I preferred it there. I loved it there.
The LA Convention Center sucks balls.
Sucks balls.
Sucks balls.
Is that where it is now? Because I went in 2009, and it was, like, downtown.
It was in Long Beach then, wasn't it?
No, it was in LA. It was, like, downtown.
Oh, was it? Yeah, then it must have been at the Staples Center.
Staples Center, I think that's where it was.
Yeah.
There's, like, nothing near there. It was, like, the worst.
Oh, no, we walked from our hotel. We walked a mile to the convention every day, multiple times.
There's nothing there. You have to go miles away to eat somewhere.
That's what I do love about Comic-Con, is that they're very established, so there's a free bus shuttle system service to all the nearby, to different nearby areas, so you can get off and eat in all the places, and it's such, like, a... a business area that there's so many different
places,
restaurants, and even like fast food. There's a Ralph's over there. So.
In Anaheim, there's also a lot of places to eat. That's, you know, I think that's important.
The complaint people told me about the new WonderCon venue is that it's not near anything. Like, there's nothing to do because you're right next to Disneyland, so Disney has, like, a total monopoly on everything. There's, like, nowhere to hang out.
But no, I think that's wrong, because besides the fact that you can go to Downtown Disney right there, and you don't need to pay to get in there, there's also several eateries and things in the nearby area for all the people at the hotels.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about, like, when it was at Moscone Center, and it's, like, in the middle of downtown San Francisco, near everything.
I'm sure that was really nice, in the way that San Diego Comic-Con is really nice.
It was more like Comic-Con, where, you know, it was near a whole bunch of good stuff. And you could leave for a little bit, go to Starbucks, whatever.
But I understand.
About WonderCon.
I understand why they wanted to move it south. I mean, just so... I think they wanted to move it south so that people would go from San Diego Comic-Con and go, hey, WonderCon's right here, maybe we'll go to that instead, since it's not too far away. It's not all the way north. They said the reason that they made WonderCon is so that they would have an equal amount of people and not, like, a clusterfuck at the International Comic-Con.
So it's really, like, two of the same... Well, not the same.
Similar.
But, yeah. Slightly smaller, just because Comic-Con is the quote-unquote international.
What?
Like, if you had the choice, who would choose WonderCon? Because I liked it a lot, but I mean, if you've never been to a convention before, you've only ever heard of Comic-Con, like, you're gonna want to go to Comic-Con.
Well, the very first convention I ever went to was Comic-Con, and then Afia wanted to go to Anime Expo the next year, and I was like, okay, we'll go. So obviously I was spoiled, and I was like, hey, it sucks, why did I come here? Take me back to Comic-Con. But when I went, you know, the year that I did go to Comic-Con compared to the year I went 2 years later, it's starting to kind of
downgrade
the cosplays. There's not as many as there was when I went the first year. Say that again?
When I went last year, I mean, I wasn't actually in the convention because the company I was working for didn't get me to do it, but, I was there, and there was not a lot of cosplay.
And that's why I said is like, especially because at this point, like, our big conventions are usually either Comic-Con or Fanime between the two. If you want to go for industry, you want to see panels, you want to buy, like,
people.
If you want to see famous people, go to Comic-Con. Like, I love Comic-Con, but it's completely separated and different from something like Fanime, where it's more the fans. They focus on cosplay, there's, you know, they have a whole information booth on cosplay. Whereas at Comic-Con, 99% of the time, your group is gonna get, broken up because they say that you're, like, a fire hazard or whatnot while you're trying to take, like, a gathering, a cosplay gathering.
Mm-hmm.
It's near impossible. You're lucky if you can get 15 minutes before someone comes and tells you you need to stop.
There was a lot of harassment. I was really surprised. I know that these people are just trying to do their jobs.
Yeah.
So I won't pressure on them. And I'm sure that they've gotten shit because they're trying to do their jobs. So, you know, hats off to them in that sense. If I honestly think that you're not a fire hazard if there's like 20 other people in the middle of the room and you're against the wall and you're not telling those people in the middle of the hallway to move. People were like that at Anime Expo, but worse. The year that we decided, oh, we won't go to Comic-Con this year, we were gonna go to Anime Expo. It was so much worse. I could not believe the amount of time. I bent over to tie my shoe and I was told I could not stand there. I couldn't do that. I had to move. I was against the wall, tying my shoe. No, you can't do that. I'm pointing to my shoe, like, look, guy, I'm gonna be up in 5 seconds. Just let me tie my fucking shoe.
Was it AX you said where, a woman had passed out?
Yes, it was while they were at the Long Beach location. This line for registration went out into the street. It was insane. It wasn't inside. The majority of the line was outside. And a woman had actually passed out due to dehydration. So this AX staff member comes up and charges her for the bottle of water that he's giving her.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That's some bullshit. I'm sorry, but, like, a lot of the time I've encountered any kind of con security or con ops, they are on the most serious power trip I have ever seen in my life. It drives me crazy. Like, I try not to make any trouble because they just, like, act all cray-cray on me, and I'm like, I'm tying my shoe. I fainted. You know? It's like, stop.
Would you get injured? It's a different tune.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
At Comic-Con, was that 2 years ago?
Yes.
My mom turned and wasn't paying attention to where she was walking. She turned around and stepped at the same time, and a guy had been walking behind her with a flatbed. So she tripped over the flatbed and fell on her face.
God.
Yeah, she
was in so much pain that she thought she had shattered her cheekbone.
And, like, the guy felt so bad. They had, like, what did they have? They had security, they had the paramedic on hand, and then obviously somebody from staff. And they were, like, the sweetest. Water. They gave her water, they gave her ice for her face. The paramedic checked her out and was, like, you know, talking about whether she wanted to go to the hospital or not, and...
They were incredibly.
I give this meeting, Thor. I have to stay in line.
Well, what is it? No, she was like, I can't leave because I have to go to the Vampire Diaries panel.
Yeah, she was trying to cut in line, and Chris was trying to explain that she couldn't do that.
She was like, "Can I just get online here?" Because it was where the line had to be split into two to make a pathway for people to walk. Oh. And she was like, "Well, can I start?" I was like, "Okay, you have to go out the doors and around to where we were online earlier." And she's like, "Well, can I just go right here?" And I'm like, "No, you can't. You can't go in the middle. You have to go back to where I said." And she was, like, arguing with me. And so I was like, "Fine, just go. I don't care." And then she turned around and fell on her face.
So, I mean, it was her
first. The moral of the story is don't cut.
The moral of the story is listen to your daughter who knows more than you.
At your first con.
Yeah.
I think that my favorite convention so far, and I have only been to, like, a handful of them, clearly, I'm not, like, the most experienced.
It was Pahrump, wasn't it? Pahrump's your favorite.
Oh, yeah. Pahrump was my absolute favorite.
What is a Pahrump?
What is a Pahrump? You don't ever want to go there. I'm sorry to the people of Pahrump, but I don't know why you're living there unless you have a ranch.
It's a shithole dirt town just a little ways outside of Vegas where brothels are legal.
Yeah, so there's like two brothels, I think.
No, I think there's more than that. Well, you know what? There's a shit ton of gentlemen's clubs.
Oh, yeah. But the biggest thing down there, as far as I know, unless they added a small outside mall, is a Walmart.
Yeah.
We went to Pahrump's first anime. It was a convention. They called it a convention, but then when we were there, they called it, like, a gathering.
Were they going to call it, like, gathering? It was Anime Fest?
Oh, that was it. Gosh. Anime Fest.
You know what I love people calling convention shows now?
That's what? Like the new thing. Is it really? Like,
it's like a new thing. Everybody's like, "Oh yeah, you're gonna be here the whole week of the show," and I'm like,
"What
show are you talking about?
There's a
about?
Show going on the entire week that I don't know about."
That's like, what is happening?
That's really weird.
But keep going about your
It was, you could tell that people tried to put effort into this anime fest, and I felt so bad for them. They got a cosplay, an experienced cosplayer to talk about cosplay tips and everything. She was really good. I wish I remembered her name. I wish I remembered her screen name,
one
but
of
she
the,
was actually very good. What?
One of the vendors there, they actually go to
Anime Expo.
All the conventions within this area, like within the West Coast area. So
yes.
They go to Comic-Con and they sell their stuff. And then they went to Pahrump. I don't know why they went to Pahrump. They shouldn't have, but...
They had, like, Japanese foods. I'm doing air quotes. They technically are Japanese foods. But
oh, so like, ramune and haichu?
And, like...
and, like, cup noodle?
Yeah, they had cup noodle, but it was, like... It was top ramen. It wasn't even, like, Ichiban or anything. I forgot the kimchi one that we have. But anyway, they also had onigiri in, like, three different kinds.
Like, it was cute. Nice. Like, it was like, it's our first time, we don't have money, we're gonna put this together.
It was really cute.
And tickets were based on donation. Like, you didn't have to pay, but...
They would have liked you to pay.
They would have liked you to pay $5 to get in as a donation.
They also had a voice actor there. Like, a legit voice actor. He was Itachi in the Naruto dub.
Wow.
Yeah,
like a big deal voice.
Yeah, like, I know. Right?
That's crazy.
So you could tell, like, they planned everything. He even called the Sasuke voice actor on the phone. He's like, what are you doing, man? It was cute. But everyone was such an asshole there. Like, you know the preteen anime kids that you have in high school that are really, really hyper and don't really give a shit about what you're talking about?
You mean all of my customers at Hot Topic?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's probably most accurate.
Yeah. Like, there were cosplayers there, and I appreciated that. But a lot of them were, like, stray dogs. Like, if you were a stranger, they did not want to come up to you. They did not want you to come up to them.
I want to say a big portion of what ended up happening with us was kind of a jealousy issue, though, because we came as Roxas and Axel.
We got a lot of attention.
And we got a lot of attention when we walked into the door. A lot of people wanted to talk to us. Oh, we actually made the newspaper.
Yeah, it's our picture on the article about the first anime fest.
Oh my god, you have to show me that later.
We'll link it.
I'll see if I can pull that up. Jesus. Yeah. It took forever to find.
But I was like, I swear to god. Because the woman who took our picture was like, I'm going to put you in the newspaper. Adorable old
man. You're probably like, yeah, okay, lady.
Yeah, but no, yeah. Whenever the cosplayer panel was on, and then the voice actor was doing the panel, no one was really respectful at all. It was really disappointing. I felt bad for everybody. And then there was the scavenger hunt, which was, I think, the last straw for me. Because you know how much I love scavenger hunts. That's my shit. I love scavenger hunts.
I love scavenger hunts.
Right? Who doesn't? So, okay. You had to get into a group of four. Minimum amount of people was...
Oh, no. You guys probably could not find a group.
Well, no. That's the thing. Is we asked if we could just be the two of us. And the voice actor... I'm so sorry. I wish I remembered his name. I could probably look it up. He goes, oh, well, there's a group of two as well. Why don't you join them? And I'm thinking, okay, everyone's a friend, you know, we all like anime. And,
first mistake.
I know. It should be that way. Cause I'm everyone's friend. You talk to me, you're my friend. So I go up to them and I'm like, I guess we're paired, you know, is that alright? And they go, oh, okay. So, immediately they're like shifty eyed and not really wanting to stand next to us. And then I see them wander off for a second and I'm like, I wonder where they're going. Maybe they're getting something so that they don't leave it here when we're on the scavenger hunt. They come back and they tell us, we're going to join this other group. They're going to take us. So,
bye.
Yeah. And I'm like, let's leave. I'm leaving. I wish that I was having a good time, but I'm not. It cost us $5 to get in because we donated it. It was just the drive. So let's go. It was the most annoying experience I've ever had, and I felt so bad for these people that
put it together. So hard to try to make a good convention.
And you know, it would have been if it wasn't for Trump. I mean, maybe more people would come over from Vegas if it was more developed. And hopefully that would be a lot better for them.
I feel like it must have been, like, a combination of the fact that it was a very, like, undeveloped community, and also the fact that, you know, probably not a lot of anime fans are out that way, you know?
There's an anime convention in the Mormon Fort. Yeah, that's what the building is called. It's called, like, the Old Mormon Fort or something. It's called Anime Vegas.
Anime Vegas is in the Old Mormon Fort?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Okay, I found the picture of us.
Well, I mean, we have a convention up here, like a very small one-day con that is in the, what is it, the Scottish Rite Center. So.
Yeah, see, there you go. My dad always tells me, I'm so surprised that there's not like a huge convention here for anime because that's all we do in Vegas. Besides tourism, is we have all these convention centers, and they're gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always figured you guys had one, and I just never heard of it.
Nope. Old Mormon Fort. And the thing is, it's not even half of the Anaheim Convention Center. This place is very, 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 very small. It's maybe, you know the size of an average exhibit hall?
Yeah.
Okay, this is like a 16th of it.
Oh, gosh.
It's very, that's the whole building. It's very small. The first and last time I went, I was treated very badly. I had gone with an ex and her girlfriend, because I didn't know about it and I wanted to go to an anime convention. And I was like, well, I want to cosplay, but I have nothing to wear. And they're like, oh, well, why aren't you dressed as Elle? Because Elle is, like, the laziest cosplay.
Oh, Jesus.
And so I did, and I got the most terrible looks. I don't even know what I did. I'm like, I got terrible looks from all the Elles at that convention. And this was when Death Note was, like, a huge thing. Like, it had just become a huge thing. So there was a lot of L's and Raitos and, stuff. And then I actually had someone go, you're not in character.
Oh my god.
I was like, are you kidding me? I'm sorry I'm not walking in a slouch the whole time. So that was a bad experience for me. I never want to go again. Besides the fact that, for their size, it's an extremely overpriced anime convention. It's more expensive than WonderCon.
Oh my god, how much is, well, WonderCon's cheap. How much was it to have a booth in Artist Alley? It was ridiculous.
It was like over $100 the 1 year. It might have been 80 to 105. It was ridiculous. I didn't even pay that much for Anime Expo, to have a booth. I paid $50 for a whole table at Anime Expo. Why are you gonna charge me more than $50 at something that's less than half the size of a convention at, Anaheim? It was insane. But I mean, I hope for the best in growth for anime convention in Vegas for that one. If, you know, I hope for an anime convention to utilize one of our convention centers because we have so many of them.
What I don't know how accurate this is, but it has been something that they've been talking about for the last 5 years, and that was Comic-Con having another smaller sister in Vegas.
I'm not surprised, and I've kind of been expecting it, waiting for it. I know that they have that one thing during Halloween. It's like a one-day convention at the Mandalay Bay, but it's nothing near what a sister convention should be. So I can't see it not happening, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's the near or far future, it has to happen. There's that one in Arizona, for God's sake. There's a Comic-Con in Arizona, which is insane. I didn't even know about it until this year. So, in short, I guess, if you want to go and see panels for, like, upcoming movies, like, say, Pacific Rim, if you wanted to go to see the people from Pacific Rim and hear about it,
you should have went to last Comic-Con.
then you should have went to last Comic-Con.
But yeah, if you want to see big budget, pretty much any of the new comic book, like, superhero movies,
then you go to Comic-Con. But if you're more concentrating on cosplays and stuff like that, then an anime convention is usually more accommodating for that. I'm still shocked at, and my favorite convention right now is Fanime, just because it is so friendly, and the fact that they had a cosplay gathering table, like they had an information booth for cosplay gatherings, amazed me. They even had, if you wanted, someone to help coordinate your gathering. So you know, if you don't exactly know how to do photo shoot opportunities, they would help you with that.
Yeah,
they had experience.
They give you your little certificate for holding a convention.
Yeah.
Or not convention, a gathering.
They also help you with, in the forums, they also help with, if you don't know where to hold your gathering, they'll offer advice. It's all around an amazing experience, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you live on the West Coast, I would go. We live in Las Vegas. We have to drive 9+ hours to get there, but it's so worth it. The community is awesome. There was not one mean person. To my knowledge, in my experience of being there, there wasn't one mean person. While in Anime Expo, every single person I passed had something nasty to say about somebody that had walked by, and that was really upsetting.
Yeah, they're very, like, judgmental.
It was like high school. It was terrible. Come on. You're all there for the same reason. Why you gotta be judging? Just because you don't like, I don't know, Yu Yu Hakusho. Weird. selection, but you don't have to show your dislike for it in such a negative way. You can just acknowledge it and move on and be friends with that person anyway.
Yeah, you need to embrace it, you know, your common interests of just anime as a general and being there, you know, whatever you're into. That's why everybody goes.
Exactly. My first time at Anime Expo, and I was a wee thing.
You were a wee thing.
A wee thing. I was, oh my god, I was 13 or 14. And that was so much fun. It was my first anime convention. And I had so much fun. I made so many friends, people that I saw for 2 seconds. The first 2 seconds that I had seen them, we were instantly friends. And I had never seen them again. We never talked again. But the fact is that they didn't know who I was. I didn't know who they were. But we were at an anime convention together. And so we had something in common. So
it was like how we got adopted at Comic-Con.
We did get adopted at Comic-Con. There was this girl who we saw every single day until... it was so weird. We just passed by each other every single day that we were at Comic-Con.
Well, and she was even at the Santee rail station, which is...
I know.
A little bit away from the convention.
It's like 2 cities down from San Diego. It's a really cute place, actually. If you don't like staying near San Diego because it's too expensive, I recommend Santee. Or where was the Heritage Inn?
La Mesa.
Where?
La Mesa.
Not a bad place.
No.
Really cute. Either place, really cute. Anyway, we were waiting for the train when we saw her at the station, and it was pretty amazing. Like, so we became friends with her. But that's what it should be about, you know?
It really should. I mean, especially for you and I, that's like our major social outing. We don't really hang out with people, we don't do other stuff. So, our goal is to make friends.
I know,
We use the convention itself as like an icebreaker.
It's true. I want to take this opportunity to talk about another segment that we want to do for Popcorn Ranch called Pros and Cons.
Ah, pros and cons.
Did I tell you about this?
Like conventions?
Yep.
Yeah, pros and cons. So we'll be sharing information about the convention, things that you should look out for, gatherings, cosplay tips from cosplayers. So we'll be interviewing some people.
We'll be corresponding from the convention itself. And then,
oh my gosh, I was totally going to suggest we do that.
It's going to be both pros and cons. And that's something to look out for. Obviously, our first episode of that segment will be at Fanime.
Yeah, so it'll be released in June, since Fanime is the end of May. So our deal, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Our goal is to eventually, if we do have any listeners who want to be correspondents, because it's hard for us to get to a lot of conventions and conventions and other nerd things. Like, we plan to do one for Wasteland Weekend when that comes in September, I think.
Yeah, it's in September.
I don't remember. But for anybody who does actually listen and who, you know, goes to conventions anywhere, you know, anywhere you go to convention. If you have a camera, we'd really like you to film your own segment of pros and cons, just the basics, things that are good, maybe things that aren't, so like how we talk about Comic-Con. Well, this is a general ticket price. This, you know, obviously it's in San Diego. If there's a lot of eateries nearby, if you're really into the industry side and panels and stuff, then you'll like that.
I think the biggest con of Comic-Con is, well, partially the cost, but also the crowds. If you're not good with big crowds...
Oh, yeah, no.
That's a really, really good point to make.
I know a lot of anime fans have a lot of social anxiety issues. Like, for some reason, it's like a strange given for our type of people. And the moment my girlfriend and I arrived at Comic-Con last year when we were working at it, we got out of the car, we got to the hotel, and she was like, I don't know if I could do this, because it was just like such a huge mass of people. It was insane. And she was like, if we ever, I don't know if we should actually ever come again if we're not working. Because it was just, like, so overwhelming for her.
So, I can definitely say it's not as bad inside, because a lot of the traffic is outside.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're in the exhibit hall.
Well, yeah, the exhibit hall anywhere is going to be. But the exhibit hall at Comic-Con's like, whew!
Like sardines.
Yeah, but if you're walking in the actual convention center, it's not as bad inside than it is outside, because Comic-Con also utilizes all the neighboring
hotels,
and they use their ballrooms for other panels and things. So there's always people either getting on the bus, off the bus,
crossing
the crosswalk, or just walking the stretch to go to the different
events
at the different hotels as well.
This was just the general impression I got, because we couldn't go inside, so we basically had to be outside the whole time.
Yeah.
So.
And the thing is, there's a lot of people that wait outside, too. Like, I who hand out flyers. I know the people from Wasteland, they don't go inside, but they'll dress up in costume and hand out flyers out in front. So, there's a lot of people, and they do a lot of things out front, so if you can't get tickets, there's stuff to see out there, too. But, so I think that's why it's so massive out front, but, I mean.
I wouldn't recommend going the whole weekend, though, if you don't have tickets, because we were there for about a day and a half, and we pretty much did everything.
Well, Plus,
events, you have to have tickets. Like, they had a Frankenweenie thing that we really wanted to go to, because they had the armatures and had, like, props from the film.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't go. I was so pissed. It really depends, though, because, I mean, the Children's Museum, the new Children's Museum of San Diego, which is adjacent to the convention center, had an amazing, amazing Adventure Time immersion experience that you could...
Yeah, that's the thing, is a lot of the nearby businesses will...
That was worth waiting for. We waited for, like, an hour and a half to go inside, and it was incredible. I almost... It was so amazing.
Adventure Time's been growing their presence there, because they had a parade, I think, when we went.
Yes.
Yeah, the Adventure Time presence was much subdued this year in comparison to what I saw online the year before.
Well, they gave out hats the year we went. Everybody who had went to the Adventure Time panel had gotten Finn hats. So all these people come, like...
flooding out.
Yeah, and they're all wearing Finn hats, and you're just like, where the... God, did you just come from?
Where'd you get that?
Yeah. That's the thing, too, is what's cool about Comic-Con is you do get a lot of free stuff.
Yes.
So much free shit. Oh my god, like, I didn't go inside. We still walked away with so much free shit. It was ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Even when we were, like Chris said, we were staying in Anaheim during WonderCon, didn't know it, walked by, we got shirts. Still have those shirts.
Yep.
That was... the WonderCon, Pendleton Ward threw a t-shirt at us. It was pretty great.
That's cute. Aww.
Talked to him before the Adventure Time panel, and then he was, like, tossing shirts out. He looked straight at us, and he's like, boom. He didn't even try to throw it. He kind of just, like, lobbed it at us. He's like, there's no friends.
But, yeah. So, essentially, everything we're discussing now, you know, it's segment... about the specific con that you're at, called Pros and Cons. Try and get other people to do it, just because, like I said, we can't... It would be our dream to travel and go to all these conventions and correspond from there. But until then. And then also include maybe cosplay tips. So a couple of scattered cosplay tips within the segment. Just have that basically our main cosplay and convention...
Segment.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do it in costume, because we go in costume, so I think it'd be cool to get different people in different costumes, so.
I mean, if you want to wait for when we release ours so you can have something to go off of.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as an example, obviously introduce yourself, say that you're representing Popcorn Ranch, but again, if you just want to wait and see
how it goes with us.
Exactly. The idea for pros and cons is that the pro is professional, so we're the professionals that represent Popcorn Ranch. So if you were going to say, I'm at Fanimate, and I'm introducing the segment, I would say, I'm your pro, Chris from Popcorn Ranch, and this is your con, Fanimate, at, you know, San Jose.
Yeah.
Which is fun to say, because it happens in May.
So come and play!
Yay! That's it. Done. Walk away.
Done. Throwing the mic down. Done.
So, on my 5-minute list that I made, it was on a grocery list.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so I'm reading, like, conventions, favorite conventions, good stories, cosplay, bread, cereal, waffles.
Cereal, waffles?
Yeah, waffles with a question mark, because I didn't know if I wanted them or not.
What is this?
That's so funny, I do that too, I'm like, do I need cheese?
Right?
This is not my grocery list. My grocery list is very specific. This is what I need, this is what I'm getting.
It's like a robot wrote it out, like, this is facts, you need this.
Yeah.
But no, I'm like, can I afford waffles? And that's why the question mark is there.
I have a question, though.
Yes.
What is does everybody have a dream cosplay? Like, if you had the money, the time, I want to hear them, basically. I'm not just asking, do you have one? And then I want silence.
Go first.
Me?
Yeah.
My dream cosplay, I have two, I would say. And, one would be to do something from Tron, which we're slowly working on, so we'll see how that goes. And then the other one is to do a character from X-Men, just because that is the thing, like, even when I was little, I was like, I'm gonna go to Comic-Con one day, and I'm gonna go as an X-Men. And then it was, I'm gonna go to Comic-Con one day, and I'm gonna go as Rain Sinclair, Wolfsbane. And that was my thing for years. It was like, when I can afford it, and I'm old enough to go on my own, I'm going to Comic-Con, and I'm going as Rain Sinclair. So, one day I will make it to a convention, probably as Wolfsbane.
I'll be your Danny Moonstar.
You don't want to be my Danny. You gave up on being my Danny.
No.
I'll be Moon Moon.
Moon Moon! Get out of here, Moon Moon!
God damn it, Moon Moon, not again!
You're the worst werewolf, Moon Moon.
That meme is amazing.
Who the fuck? It's this. Okay, if you haven't seen this chart, it's, you know, your Star Wars name, your leprechaun name. Okay, so it's your werewolf name. So if your first name starts with a T, you look for the T. Well, okay, it's ferocious, and then you go to your last name. It's the first letter of your last name, so, you know, you make your werewolf name. Well, the genius who made it, decided to put Moon on both sides. So Moon Moon was a possible, and some people got Moon Moon as their werewolf name.
That was terrible.
Like, are you kidding? Moon Moon.
Moon Moon.
So, it's the fail werewolf.
I think I was something like Ferocious Beast or something.
You were Ferocious Beast. I was white.
I was something cool. I was like Dark Snow or something stupid.
I was White Paw.
How are you White Paw? You couldn't be White Paw.
I was White Paw.
Oh, you know what? I think it's I think it was the last letter of your last name. Because I was going to say we're both B's. But I think it was the last letter of your last name.
It was the last letter.
Yeah.
I don't remember what I was talking about before the Moon Moon.
Oh, I said cosplay. Your dream cosplay. Mine are lame. I don't know.
No, that's not lame. Mine's dumb. I have two. The first one is Sheik from Legend of Zelda. I one day I'm gonna work out and
get buff. You're gonna get super buff.
I'm gonna get super buff for Sheik. I'm gonna be able to do 1,000 cartwheels if I want. That's
beautiful.
1,000 cartwheels? Is that like something a lot of people do? Is cartwheels?
I don't know.
You know what?
I do a lot of people like, I gotta exercise today. Cartwheels, and that's it.
Cartwheels, I used to be able to do them for like 2 months out of my whole life, and then I was never able to do them again. but yeah, so Sheik is my first one. I love that character so much. And my second one, everyone can laugh, it's okay, is my Khajiit character from Skyrim. Because the thing is, you can, before I say anything, fursuit artists are amazing. you can fabricate so well this suit made of faux fur. I've seen amazing fursuits, and I respect every single one of you. However, for Khajiit, tuning fursuits don't really work unless you really just wanted to go for that look.
Yeah.
There are, however, costumers that do very close to skin fursuiting, realistic animals. I'm going to link an artist. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but she is incredible. I watch her on DeviantArt. It's really freaky because it looks like an anthro, like a furry, how they would draw them, but in real life. So I want to be able to replicate something like that for my Khajiit cosplay. Her name starts with a Q, so look for that in the link dump. And those are my two cosplays. What is yours, Claire?
Oh, I have to go now. In a way, I've already done my dream cosplay. I got to be Captain Harlock.
Aww.
And, like, everything about Harlock is, like, all the things I love. It's vintage, it's romantic, but not in, like, lovey-dovey romance.
I'm talking about romantic.
Like, angsty, death-ridden romance.
Like the actual term.
Yes, the actual term of romance. That's what Harlock is. And it's space and it's pirates, okay? It's like everything I love. And I got to do Harlock, and it was just like a dream come true. And the best part about it was that, like, the people who did recognize me, because I did 70s version, 1979 Harlock. And the people who did recognize me were so excited that it made up for the fact that no one else at the convention knew who I was.
Aww.
You know, like, they were so fucking jazzed that it was Harlock. They're like, oh my god! Amazing. It was so fun. I guess that doesn't count because I did it already. I really want to be Jareth from Labyrinth.
Oh, yeah, you should do that.
I want to be him from the ballroom scene.
Yeah.
Because big sparkle coat.
Yeah, yeah.
No, do him as the owl.
Maybe I'll be the owl. I'll be Moon Moon the owl. I'm trying to think of something else that I want to do that like I haven't already done. I'd love to do something that's like ultra, ultra super intense body makeup.
I was trying to think of something like that, like intense armor or something, but I couldn't think of anything besides like what my Khajiit was wearing in Skyrim.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of something, because right now I'm working on a secret costume that embodies a lot. It's very much in the same vein as Harlock, like, my motivations for Harlock, because it's something I've loved for a really long time, and something that just would make me so frickin' happy, and the fact that it's structurally and, like, construction-wise, it's very difficult, and that's what my girlfriend's all about. She's really into
details.
Yeah, and detail, and this has so much insane detail, and I'm not even gonna tell you guys.
I feel like I should know who this
you
is.
You should know what it is by now, but I'm not gonna tell you. You can guess, but I'm not telling you. You get to see what it is. And so there's just, like, so much that's going into these costumes that we're doing that is just, like, everything I've ever wanted, and so I'm really excited about it. I don't know, because, like, I'm a more experienced cosplayer than you guys, so, you know, I've done a lot more, and I feel like I've fulfilled so many factions of cosplay dreamness.
I mean, that's good, though, you know, to be able to constantly do things that you really want to do. Like, we have to do a lot of settling just because of financially, so, I mean, I think I would love to be able, you know, every year be like, all right, I'm going to do this. That's what's gonna happen, but we end up scrambling a lot in the end.
Because, of finances.
I have a dream costume that's, like, kinda cheesy.
Nothing is cheesy.
I wanna cosplay from Sailor Moon, like, so freaking
bad. Why is that cheesy? That's classic!
I don't know, I just feel like it's cheesy.
No! It's a well-respected anime, and I grew up loving and looking up to a lot of characters in that anime.
I mean, that was, like, one of the first things that I ever got into for anime, yeah. Because that was back when they weren't playing a lot of anime on TV, so, on, you know, regular, so.
I don't know who I would be, though, because, you know, of course, there's the lesbian cosplay gauntlet and being Neptune and Uranus, but...
It's just who you want to be, though.
I mean, I would be super good as Haruka. Like, let's be honest. I'd be perfect as her. But it's like, that's what people are expecting of me. I don't always like doing what people expect.
I think that out of everyone, I would like to see you cosplay as Jupiter before anyone.
I love Jupiter.
I think that's a good one, yeah.
Yeah, I think that you match her I think you match her the best, to be honest.
Oh, thank you. I love her. Except she's kind of a dumb brute.
She's just young. I don't know. How do kids actually...
You know, most of them are dumb, though. Except for Amy. Most of them are just dumb teenagers. I shouldn't say that. Like, Michiru and Haruka are obviously not. I was thinking, like, you know, the five... What do they call them? The inner planets. The five inner...
/scouts. Yeah, like, I've always loved Jupiter because, like, dude, she's super feminine. She loves to cook. She loves baby animals. But she is a badass. She is the strongest one. And she's super tall and has brown hair.
She was actually the one that I looked up to just because I was the tallest kid in my class.
Yeah.
And so I was, like, not shunned, but I was, like, I don't know. A lot of kids didn't. What?
You were kind of made fun of, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was kind of like, no one wanted to play with me, and because I was like really tall, I guess. It doesn't make sense, but that's what happened. So I looked up to, I wish I remembered her American and or Japanese name.
Her American name is Lita, and her Japanese name is Makoto, yeah.
Makoto.
Yeah, Makoto. Mako-chan!
Mako-chan, yeah.
I would love to cosplay her. I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, see, then you would do, like, her non-scout uniform, and then do her scout uniform the next day.
Oh, her school uniform.
Yeah.
I love her school.
Her school uniform that, like, doesn't match as everybody else's, even though she goes to the same school, because she was too tall. That made me laugh so much. She was so tall at 5'6", they could not find a uniform for her.
That makes Usagi, like, 4'11".
I think she actually is 4'11". I think she actually is 4'11".
Based on how tall they were saying that Jupiter was, and then they figured it out with the rest of them. They're like, yeah, Usagi's like a shrimp. She's a teeny tiny girl.
Someone tried arguing with you, Chris, that everyone's short when they're that young. So, yeah, 5'6 is really tall. But that's how tall I was when I was in fourth grade.
And I had to point out, because the argument was, because I had said, I think it's hilarious that, you know, they focus on how Jupiter is so tall, but she's recorded as only being 5'6". And,
You also have to look at the cultural context.
Exactly what I said. I was like, well, that just goes to show you, you know, in Japanese, in Japan, they're shorter. And she was like, well, no, because in middle, you gotta remember they're in middle school. And I was like, girls hit their growth spurt before high school.
Yeah.
So, chances are, all the heights that the girls are it's where they're gonna stay, because that's just how we mature. And it was just like this stupid argument of like, she was trying to say that I was wrong, and I'm like, no.
No. You are incorrect.
Ding dong, you are wrong.
But she was like saying how she didn't think it had anything to do with the fact that they were in Japan.
That's stupid.
Yeah, I was like, no. That's tall to them. That's just, you know, that's cultural significance, the fact
that's tall.
Yeah.
That's just how it is.
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
So, back to conventions and cosplay, it made me think, talking about Sailor Jupiter reminded me of how I was looking at art, you know, drawings that Naoko Takeuchi did of Sailor Moon, and how when I used to do One Piece cosplay, instead of doing like the basic outfits, I would take something from the art. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think I'd want to do with Sailor Moon too, because it's like, you're still recognizable, but you're doing something different.
Yeah.
I've always liked doing that.
That's like what we're cosplaying from Aono Exorcist / Blue Exorcist for people who watch the American dub version, whatever. Or read the whatever.
Anyway.
I'm gonna cut that out.
Blue Exorcist.
Blue Exorcist. But we're not dressing in the school uniforms that our characters dressed as, they dress in these particular casual clothes for a fraction of this one chapter of the manga.
They go, like, on a trip, right?
Not really a trip. It's just pretty much after the shit that happened in that chapter, and they decide to walk around Kyoto.
Oh, okay.
Because the main character really wanted to, so they're like, okay. But yeah, so I've never seen anyone cosplay these particular outfits. Mm-hmm. Which is good and bad, because I have nothing
to watch. Risk of being accused of doing closet.
Well, no, not
it's,
even that.
It's essentially, like, canon casual.
Yeah, it's
a casual version of your character that is actually canon to, you know, it's actual source material.
The thing is, I know you ran into this problem. They're in black and white.
Yeah, because it's a manga, yeah.
So you have to, thankfully for my outfit, there is actually a small chibi colored version of my character that she colored.
It's a similar outfit. It's not the same exact one.
I've had to make up colors before,
yeah.
Too. Exactly, and it's hard. So
it
is hard. We're sticking, for Chris, we're sticking with a black and white and gray outfit, as opposed to, like, any other color. But because I'm wearing so much color, like, I'm going to be wearing jeans as opposed to what I thought was a charcoal gray short.
Which, and I thought it was, like, I interpreted it as almost like a khaki.
Yeah, so, I would have never thought it was jeans until I saw this chibi version of the artwork that the comic artist made.
Chibi or shitty?
Chibi.
Oh, okay. I was like, if it's a crappy color version, why don't you just make up a different color?
It took me a second. I thought she said shibby or chibi, and I was like, I'm confused. And then whenever you said that, I was like, oh, shitty.
Yeah, I'm like, what's a shibby?
Is that a version that you get stabbed in?
So when it comes down to, I can't even imagine someone who's cosplaying from a manga, and there's no anime or anything. And you have to go off of non-colored artwork. Like, you have to take creative license.
You kind of have no choice unless you want to do a different outfit.
Exactly.
That's, like, what it comes down to. Because when I used to do fairy tale cosplay, I really wanted to cosplay this one version of Erza Scarlet, where she's wearing basically Hakama and she has her breast bound. Because it's like a very dressed down armor type that she has. Just flame pants. It's pretty cheesy looking.
Yeah, I
see, as soon as I say flame pants, you're like, oh yeah, I know that one.
It's kind of hard to forget flame pants.
Right? And so I decided I wanted to do that because I didn't have time to make armor for her. And so I had to make up the colors because there were no colors for it yet. And I was like, well, I mean, they're flames, so I'll make them flame colors. Like, it makes sense.
That would be the first place you would go. That's not even, like, being crazy. It's... fire. Okay,
pants,
there you go.
Red accents to match my hair, and then to make the main color black. Like, that just makes sense because they're Hakama, you know, kind of thing. And so I go ahead and do the costume. Everybody likes it. Yay. And a week after I wear it, there's a manga cover in the outfit, and my colors are completely wrong.
Oh,
like, so wrong. I mean, they ended up being, like, orange and yellow. They were horrible. I was like, my colors are better. But, like, they were so completely off, and I was like, god damn it. And, you know, people were calling me out on it, and I was like, there were no colors. I made this costume way ahead of time. And it was funny, because people, after I did it, even after the colors came out, people did it the way I had done it. I saw at least two other Erzas after me do the exact same color scheme. And I was like, girl! Like, I totally understand why you did that, because the real colors are terrible.
That's pretty cool, though.
It was, yeah, I was like, oh wow, I inspired them. That's kind of neat. I was like, ooh, I know what you looked at for reference.
I just had a thought, and I know people have done this before, and I actually really like it. When people dress from a black and white or grayscale comic, they actually go monochrome.
Oh my god, have you seen that one lone wolf and it's like lone wolf and wolf cub, I think.
No.
There's this fucking amazing, it's one of my favorite costumes ever, this dude dressed up from that, and if you've ever, just if you look up lone wolf and cub, I think that's what it's called, it's very sketchy, very cross-hatchy. This dude made his costume and did his makeup all cross-hatched.
That's very talented.
He shaded it. It was incredible. I didn't see it in person. I saw it online, but it was, like, literally, like, he had walked off the page. It was the coolest fucking thing I'd ever seen, like, in my whole life. I was like, that dude did so much effort to, like, really pull this together, and you could tell what it was. That was the best part. You're like, holy shit, that's Lone Wolf and Cub. I'm gonna try and find it.
Please do, so we can link it.
That's like how a lot of people try to mimic the texture from Borderlands, yeah.
I have seen very, very good cosplays where they do that. It just takes a really steady hand, because you're going in with a very thin paintbrush, a lot can go wrong.
Yeah, and a knowledge of what, like, you're supposed to be doing.
Heavy referencing.
Yeah.
I feel like that must be so difficult to pull off unless you're super skilled with makeup to begin with, because it's not a beginner's thing. People think it is because they're like, oh, you know, whatever.
It's just painting. It's not.
No, just paint it.
Because you're not only painting a costume, you're replicating that from the page or the, you know, whatever you're referencing.
Oh my god, I found this dude. He is so freaking amazing. I'm gonna link you guys, and I'm also gonna link you to his AC Paradise, but I'm just gonna show Popcorn Ranchers this just real quick. Like, how freaking cool is this dude?
Oh yeah, I was looking it up too, and that's who I found.
I've seen him before. That's right.
Here's his cosplay.com. He even got a feature. Oops, that's a V. He got a feature for it, which he deserves.
That's a V.
You just type V and enter.
I accidentally hit V, I didn't mean to. Forgive me.
I absolutely love all the talented people out there.
That's why I will just sit here on cosplay.com and look up like photos that people posted recently.
Oh my god, for
just
hours.
Just to see some different things.
She will for hours.
I will for hours. I got yelled at for it.
From my friend Melissa, could not believe that Chris had gone through already 1,000 pages.
It wasn't 1,000 pages.
It was 1,000 pages.
It was not.
That's what was so incredible about it. You were on the
No, she was doing, she kept doing the math because she was like, there's what, like 12? No, 5, 10, 15, 20. There's 20 pictures per page and you're on page blah, blah, blah. So you've seen blah, whatever, pictures. You've
so
gone through.
It must have been 1,000 pictures.
I gotta think so. I think that's what it was. I think it was, and I was past that at one point. But why not?
It's
I gotta think, you know, that's how people find stuff.
I mean,
besides, like, Googling it. Or not Googling it, but actually searching it.
Another thing that amazes me about cosplayers, and every person is different. Every person can do a different method of the same thing. The execution is just different, and it amazes me. For example, rivets for, metal armor, right? I've seen people, cut off ends of hardware. I've seen people just make it out of foamy. I've seen people sculpt. I've seen people, we've done this. We painted googly eyes, to make rivets.
You know what the best way to make rivets is? I just discovered this is what we're doing on our costumes, our super secret costumes that I keep, like, totally plugging right now. We have used over 1,000 tiny, tiny brads.
What?
You know, have you ever seen a brad? It's like a little metal thing.
The fuck is that?
I'll show you.
I'll describe it.
It's hard. I'll just post a picture and then I'll try and figure out how to describe this thing because it is literally the best thing you've ever seen in your life, and it is so helpful and useful. It's for scrapbooking, it's also for keeping paper together. This is just, like, the first thing I found on Google, but these ones are glitter. We are not using glitter ones. But it
Oh, that's what I thought you were talking about.
See what I mean, though? It's if you ever have a manila envelope, it's the little thing,
it has the closure. That you bend.
Yeah.
And then you can attach it to things.
Right. And it has a little round it, but that's exactly what I mean. I still prefer the googly eyes, even though this would probably be really helpful because then you wouldn't
have to. It depends on, because did you actually puncture it through the fabric?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it depends on whether you just want to glue it on or puncture it through.
This is actually for connecting. Like, they are... These things that I am describing are both glued on and attached using these brads, and they make it look so fluid. Like, when the fabric bends underneath these things, it looks amazing. Like, they're not, like, popping off at the edges or anything. Like, it looks so freaking good.
See, I'm sure for that, it would be really helpful. We were just using it on foamy, though.
Oh, well, in that case, there's no point. You might as well just use, like, googly eyes or glue. You know, like, hot glue, like, make a little dot.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the thing is the color was supposed to be uniform as well. So it was easy for us just to put on the googly eyes and then spray the entire thing. Like,
yeah.
A cohesive.
Those were for Tavros's robot legs.
Tavros's robot legs.
Which I can link to, because why not?
Robot legs.
Robot legs.
Beep boop.
There was actually, we did Homestuck cosplays for a Halloween party that we were doing. Because we never had a Halloween party before. We usually just scare kids out in front.
I've had a Halloween party, not on Halloween, and that's it.
Yeah, because you worked at a haunted mansion or whatever.
It was a haunted house.
Haunted house.
I worked it, like, the whole month of October and so.
Monster Mayhem, I think the company is called.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why she couldn't have it. Obviously, she was busy on Halloween. But yeah, so we did that. And there's this woman who we know. It's actually your cousin?
Yeah.
She does amazing costumes every year. She tries to outdo herself every year. She was a jellyfish last year. It was really, really cute the way she did it. But she was going nuts over the fact that we use googly eyes for rivets. Like, that was the best thing for her. But that's what I like about knowing cosplayers and communicating with them, and even just seeing what they do, because there are so many ways to execute something, and it's really fascinating how creative people can be.
Well, it's like my entire wheelie head is just craft foam.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Your wheelie head was craft foam.
It's just people, like, you work with what you can, and you know.
Well, this is a discussion I had with somebody recently. I don't think the construction or the method necessarily matters as much as the final product.
Of course.
I think a lot of people would probably disagree with me on this, because it's like, well, you need to know how to do... No, you don't. It's a costume. It's not fashion. It's not for theater. It is a costume you're putting on your body for 3 hours, then you're going to throw it on your hotel room floor after that, okay?
Oh. Oh my
gosh.
If
it looks good, it doesn't matter how you made it. Like, my girlfriend's Ezio costume, and I'll link to that later, Ezio Auditore from Assassin's Creed 2, the entire inside was reinforced with hot glue, okay? And it looks amazing! It's just like, it doesn't need to be structurally sound to look good. As long as it stays together the whole time you're wearing it, I think it's fine.
That's
it doesn't matter what you use.
That's exactly what I was going to say. As long as it looks good, and it stays together, then it doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
That's like, back to my Wheatley. And at the time, I was probably the first on cosplay.com to have a Wheatley head.
I'm really surprised. I didn't realize that. I thought that, I don't know anything about the Portal fandom. I just figured people had done that before.
No. People did humanoid versions of Wheatley.
Yeah, so it was just a person in like a suit or, you know, different
clothes.
Oh, like
a Gajinka.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And so I had been the first, one of the fairly first to do it, and I was the first on cosplay.com. And a lot of people have done it now with, like, you know, more stable materials and
fiberglass.
Such. Fiberglass. Yeah, but I get a lot of compliments on the eye, which is hilarious because it's like the stupidest thing. It was like white mesh that I painted blue.
That you crochet on.
Yeah, the
like
white.
It's not crocheting. It's, you put wool, like wool, oh my god, I cannot speak, I'm so sorry. Yarn. You thread yarn through it and make pictures and stuff. It's like plastic white mesh that you use.
Oh, it's that white stuff that people, like, they sew through it with, like, yarn, right?
That's exactly, yeah.
I don't know what that's called, but that's how we made our peppermint butler first.
We use so much of that plastic mesh, it's not even funny. So everyone commented on how lively this eye was and how it seemed to glow on her Wheatley head. But it was really just, like, a cutout of this mesh so she could see through it, and then she painted on it.
Yeah, like, the whole thing was so simple. Like, to set the eye in, I kind of just took foamy that I painted black so it was, like, a camera lens. So, like, it slowly went inward.
Concave.
Yeah. And then...
Concave like a cave. That's how I remember it.
And then
it goes in like a cave.
It does. Yeah. Which I find a lot of people don't do. They do a flat eye, and I think that's a big problem. But
I would do a convex one, like a lens.
Well, yeah, that's how it's exactly how his, like, movement is in the actual game, is his eye is kind of like a lens, and so that's why I mimicked that, where, you know, it's set in and it has kind of like the edging. But so it was set in, and then it was just like really thin black material glued on, and then we sewed the white mesh that was painted blue. So it was like the stupidest, cheapest thing we possibly could have done. And people were like, this eye is amazing. Is it glowing? And I'm like, no, it's just shitty paint on, like, white plastic mesh. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, if you do it properly, it could still come out really good. Or, you know.
And then you're not using as much money as you could be.
Yeah, it really was inexpensive. It was probably $20 in the end to make. At the very most.
It was all labor.
Yeah, because you get a roll, you can get that a whole roll of foamy at,
Joann's.
At, like,
or
Joann's
Michael's.
Or craft stores. So that's all we did, and that's, like, $7, so.
I would recommend using foamy for everything, if you could.
Is that, like, craft foam?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's craft foam.
We use craft foam for everything.
It's just,
I'm just thinking about how many things we've reinforced with craft foam. Like,
right.
My night stalker, so much of that is, like, the reason it's so structured is because of craft foam.
Because it's not only flexible and soft, it's hard to rip.
Yeah.
I think craft foam with Mod Podge is, like, your best friend.
Oh, yeah. If you cover craft foam with Mod Podge, you're not ripping that thing, ever.
And that's what gave Wheatley, he ended up looking kind of plasticky, even though he was just foam.
Is because of the Mod Podge that we put over him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, it's little things that you gotta
learn. It's a lot of, what's the word, technique.
But, I mean, it's again, it's stuff that you learn through experience, and then through experience of others. And that's why I think, like, a greater sense of community in the cosplay community needs to be made. And, like, cosplay.com forums, great place to start.
But that's definitely why I kind of want to include that, just basic tips and pros and cons. So if you are a beginner, you can kind of learn, you know, basic ways and then maybe adapt. Because there are definitely several times where we take a tutorial and then spin it to fit for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. You find ways to make things work. It's like, oh, no, this method doesn't work for me as well as this other method. Oh, I made up a new thing.
Exactly. So... it's all trial and error, and a lot of stress, but it's worth it in the end.
Being a cosplayer is stressful.
It is.
But it's worth it, like you said. Before we finish, I'm gonna step away from conventions before we end. And I'm gonna talk about things that are coming up, like movies. Let me see if I could do this in order. So, things to look forward to, I guess, this year that are coming out, if they don't get moved, if the date doesn't get moved. July 12th is Pacific Rim. July 19th is RIPD. Do you know what that is?
No, what is that?
It's like undead police force. So RIPD. Ha ha ha.
I don't get it.
Like, rest in peace, but
oh.
So yeah, they're like undead police. I have not seen the trailer for it. Apparently it looks good. August, we have Kick-Ass 2. In October, we have Paranormal Activity 5. Yeah, I know.
Another one?
Yeah, another one. I guess they haven't stopped. They're still going. And of course, we'll go and see that, because we do every year. It's kind of a ritual now. November 1st is Ender's Game. November 15th is the second Thor movie, The Dark World. And December 13th is part 2 of The Hobbit.
No, I thought Hobbit wasn't coming out until next year now.
That's what it told me.
Oh, yay, I'm so...
But, I don't know, maybe don't take that to... don't take that to heart in that case.
We don't in any way, we aren't in any way official in these postings, so don't run to the movie theater that day and then blame us.
I'm gonna run to the movie theater.
Yeah, where's The Hobbit? December 13th, Popcorn Ranch told me.
They told me it was gonna be today, those assholes.
They told me it was gonna be today back in April.
And, I guess to be announced is a Gambit movie. I guess they're working on a Gambit movie.
They've been talking about
Gambit.
That.
Yeah, so that's, I would love to see a Gambit movie. And, before I go into this new show that we will briefly discuss because we have to stop recording soon, I want to let everyone know, don't worry, Dynasty Warrior 8 is coming out this year. along with Final Fantasy 50.
Did you say 50?
Yeah. Because I don't think they're ever going to stop making Final Fantasy. I don't even remember the number that we're on right now. Is it 14? 15?
I think 14's coming out?
Yeah, I think 14 is coming out. Because they did 13 and then 13.2.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So 14's going to come out eventually. For those on Netflix... obviously, they released their original series, House of Cards, but now Hemlock Grove is another series that they've released, that they made.
What is it? It sounds like a spooky show.
It's a supernatural... It's spooky. I mean,
There's nothing... I wouldn't say there's anything spooky about it.
No.
Because they're pretty upfront about everything.
But there's minimal blood. There's not much blood. There are dead bodies, though.
It's actually surprising there isn't more blood because it is Netflix, so there's no, like...
There's no censorship.
Yeah, exactly. So there's nudity and there's cursing and whatnot, so...
It's a supernatural thriller. Would you say it's a thriller?
I guess you can.
Like a drama, I guess. But there's definitely supernatural elements. I mean, there's talk of werewolves. It's all modern day, by the way. It's in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's talk of werewolves. The main character's gypsy. There's the Ouroboros symbol. Am I saying Ouroboros?
Ouroboros?
Yeah.
I've always said Ouroboros because that's what it looks like, but it might be Ouroboros or something crazy.
I'm sure that I pronounced it the way my brain wanted to.
The thing is, they say it like five, like you could do a drinking game based off of how many times they say it in the show, and I couldn't for the life of me tell you how they pronounce it in the show, even though I've heard them say it 5 billion times and never pay attention.
Like, reanimation, like, there's a ton of stuff in there. It's actually really good. We watched the first episode.
Russian vampires.
Yeah, Upir. Upir is a, is it Russian?
Yeah, it's a Russian vampire.
A Russian vampire. So,
and they walk during the day, not the night. Or they stalk, I don't know, they kill, they attack.
It's like a creature wearing human skin, but isn't human. So a vampire. There's that. It's a really good show. Like I said, I watched the first episode, and then I was hooked.
Yeah, pretty good show.
I applaud to you, Netflix. Good job.
Kind of refreshing, considering all the other shows out there that are within the same, you know, werewolves, vampires. There's a shit ton out there.
No, yeah, it's actually a fresh drink of water, considering the similarities, the in category. No, there's nothing really similar about the show compared to the shows on TV that are also supernatural.
Yeah.
Not Supernatural, the show.
No.
But yeah, try it out. If you have Netflix, definitely try it out. If it's not your cup of tea, I apologize.
But what's cool about it, too, is because it is on Netflix, it's not like they release an episode every blah 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 days. No, you get all, like, the whole season in one shot.
What's gonna happen with Arrested Development next month? They're gonna put the whole new season on there. I am so excited!
So everyone look out for that, so Arrested Development's coming back. If you haven't seen the advertisements for it.
So excited. I love
Arrested Development. Let's end with recommendations!
Well, I know Afia has one, so let's have her start while we all think about her.
Besides Hemlock Grove, obviously, we just talked about it. My recommendation is Skyward Sword for the Wii. Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, if you want the whole title. I actually think it's a really good game. I was concerned because it was for the Wii, and so you'd have to do, you know, sword movements and everything. And everyone, not everyone, but a majority of the fandom complained on the graphics and how it looked. It's a combination between the Wind Waker style and the Twilight Princess style. It's a perfect mixture of both. But I actually enjoyed it a lot. And they do have very creative ways to use your new weapons. You fly a lot around, so you're tilting your Wiimote left and right. Instead of turning it completely left and right, it's this new technology that I didn't know about. It's called a Wii Motion Plus. That allows you to tilt your Wiimote. I know it's Wii Remote, but come on, it's a Wiimote. That allows you to tilt it that way in order to fly objects. Like, you have a giant bird that you fly. There's a beetle that you get that aids you in dungeons. And then they have really interesting spins on characters. Not characters, enemies. I cannot remember the name of this enemy for the life of me, but usually you have to throw a bomb in its mouth or...
I love those! Those things are hilarious.
Right. They also had another one. It's a giant... in Nintendo 64 version, the Ocarina of Time, it was a giant eyeball on a pedestal, and it turns, and it zaps you with a laser.
Oh, yeah.
Beamos, I think? It's called a Beamos. So, in every other game that I've played, you would have to throw a bomb at it. No. You do not throw a bomb at it in this game. And so I wasted all of my bombs. Instead... Since they really like to reinforce that you can use your arm gesture to swing the sword in game, you have to cut its pedestal and then stab it in the eye in order to kill it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a swish and flick?
Swish and stab.
Really. Swish and stab. I like that better.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Swish and stab.
But yeah, that's my recommendation if you have a Wii. I would definitely try it out. If you're a Zelda fan, definitely try it out. Why haven't you played it yet? Probably because you don't have a Wii.
You poor unfortunate bastard!
I know. We got one for free. Woo-hoo! And so did you. So
yes, I did technically get mine for free.
Got it for your birthday. We got it from a friend who didn't want their Wii anymore. So we were very fortunate.
Not want their Wii anymore.
She just didn't play it very much. She didn't really like the mechanics of it. She tried it out, didn't like it.
We also got a Yellow Light of Death. PS3.
We also inherited a broken PS3. Sorry. And so Chris is actually trying to fix that. She's taking it apart and is going to melt the soldering back in hopes of fixing it.
How fancy.
Yeah, a lot of people are intimidated when you open up a piece of hardware. But it's not really that scary if you know what you're doing. But yeah, anyone else have any recommendations after I've blabbed about Skyward Sword?
I'm trying to think of what I've been playing lately that would be... I mean, literally all I play lately is Just Dance 4 and Mario Party 8.
Because
we've made a pact. My girlfriend and I have made a pact that we cannot start any new games before Fanime. Because you know what will happen.
You'll be like, I want to cosplay
the game. And we will be like, oh, let's drop all of our other costumes and make these new costumes.
It's legit. Yep.
That's kind of why Chris doesn't want to start any new anime.
Because you know, before you even start watching it, you're like, I'm going to start this today. And discreetly watch what I could potentially cosplay as.
Yeah, like, that's why we just keep watching over and over again. Either Arrested Development or Slayers. Like, every time we finish one, we start the other one. Because if we watch anything new or anything that we get too involved with, we're going to be like, oh, fuck. I got to cosplay this.
You've been watching Parks and Rec. Did you want to recommend that?
I love Parks.
Yeah, I never had watched it just because I didn't usually watch a lot of stuff on TV, but now that I don't even have a cable, it's all Netflix. But no, really, really good show. I think the character relationships in that are just phenomenal. There's really not anybody you can outright hate or dislike, in my opinion.
I love that show.
It's just a great show.
In Tumblr terms, you get a lot of feels.
You do, you get a lot of feels. It's very common, if not every episode, every other episode, where you're just watching it and you're like, oh.
Just like that.
Yep, like, oh.
Just like that.
Yep, exactly.
yeah, I think that's it. As far as, we started playing Bioshock again, which, of course I'd recommend that, but to anyone out there, I did not know this, they automatically put you on the hard level when you start playing Bioshock.
See, but so it asks you when you start playing.
Yeah, so
but the normal level, because usually when you and I play, we pick, like, the normal one. Like, we don't want puffy cream puffs, but we also don't want to get murdered. So we usually do it normal. And normal on Bioshock is terribly hard. You won't even enjoy playing, in my opinion.
Yeah. We actually traded the game back because I just was not having fun playing it.
Actually, I don't even think it was ours. I think we were borrowing it.
No, they gave it to us.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They did. It was given to us.
Yeah, it was. We didn't steal a game and sell it. But after Evelyn had told me how much fun she had, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll try this one more time. And she had told me do it on easy. I have so much fun playing this now because I'm not that kind of person that focuses on trying to kill enemies. I want to do it for the story and the gameplay. Not so much to kill things. So on easy mode, it was a lot more enjoyable for me.
You're not like me who runs through villages, like, murdering people.
Yeah.
Not really. Women and children, though.
You oh can't my gosh, kill I do that in Assassin's Creed by standards. Accident all the time. Always accidentally killing people in Assassin's Creed.
Oh my God,
not in real life. I promise I don't actually accidentally kill people.
Oh, I accidentally kill people all the time.
Accidentally shove that guy? Oops.
Like, when we had Fable, Chris would be like, look, I'm gonna save, and I'm gonna kill everyone in this village, okay? And then we'll just upload from the save, so nothing. And then, so it won't be shitty.
For days, I'd be like, I can't go back to that town. She'd be like, why? I'd be like, because I'm a wanted man there.
There's, like, poles in the window.
I'm a wanted man
down.
Now, I can't go back.
And then, no, eventually I'll be like, okay. Because I always have a shit ton of money in Fable, and I don't know why. But so I'll be like, okay, I'll go back, and I'll be like, here's 500, and they're like, alright, we'll let it go. And I killed everybody in town, and like...
You're like, I'm sorry, here's for the damages.
Yeah.
Peace.
Then they're like, alright, just don't do it again. I'm like, okay.
Not.
That worked out in Fable 3, though.
Yeah.
Because anything that you needed to get done that required a not-so-nice action, I did. So you still ended the game with, like, really high morale, even though... Because you made me do all the dirty work.
Yeah, you enjoyed it.
I did. It was fun.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Tumblr. We also have iTunes. Listen to us on iTunes. Give us a rating, if you would. Tell us how you enjoyed our episode.
Yes, please, please rate us.
Give us feedback. We enjoy it. If you want to say hello, we'll say hello back.
As always, link dumps are only on Tumblr.
Link dumps are only on Tumblr, so visit our Tumblr. Every episode is labeled. So we'll see you in 2 weeks.
We won't see you. She lies.
I lied. You'll hear us in 2 weeks. You. Yeah, you might see us.
What? No, not in 2 weeks.
No, in like 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.